Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's favorite and very own critic and guide to all things cinematic, which I like to say. He joins us weekly. The films In the Heights, The Disciple, and Joji, which is, if nothing else, very fun to say.
It certainly is. Well, I wish it were that much fun to watch, but we'll get to Joji in a little while. Today we have sort of a theme or a couple of themes. We're sort of modifying the themes. In the Heights is very much a musical, very sort of almost old-fashioned kind of musical in some ways, movie musical. The Disciple is a very different kind of movie. It also deals very intensively with music, and it's from India. And then the third film, Joji, has nothing to do with music whatever, but is also from India. So that's our sort of our meandering set of themes for the day, Jill. But let's begin with In the Heights, and this is a movie that a lot of people have really, really been looking forward to. It is the first major project by Lin-Carmen Miranda, who made the musical, the American historical musical, Hamilton, a few years ago. I've seen Hamilton a couple of times. I've seen it live on the stage. And I've seen the video version that was put out. And I can't say I share the excitement that regards this as a great modern American masterpiece, but it's a perfectly good show, you know, with all kinds of interesting sort of American historical stuff in it. In the Heights is a very different kind of a thing in some ways, which is to say it's not historical. It takes place very much in the present day and deals very much with present day concerns. But on the other hand, it is still very much a musical. And as with Hamilton, the music is of different kinds. There's some rap music in it, but there's all different kinds of pop music. So it's very much a sort of a rap pop rock musical. By the way, not directed by Miranda. It was directed by John M. Chu, whose last movie was the film called Crazy Rich Asians, which was a gigantic hit, which I really hated. So I'm happy to see him doing a little bit better with In the Heights. So here's what In the Heights is about. It takes place in Washington Heights, which is a neighborhood way, way, way up at the absolute northern little bit of Manhattan. It's way up there, and it's a very ethnic neighborhood. And the main character is a young guy named Usnavi, who owns a bodega. And he has all these neighbors who he deals with and has fun with and has some occasional little conflicts with. He is really in love with this woman, young woman who works in a beauty salon nearby. And there's other characters there, too. And his big dream is getting back to where he originally came from, the Dominican Republic. Public, where there is some family property that has been sort of devastated by the weather and this and that, and it's barely even exists anymore, but it's still there, and he could go back there and he could reclaim the property and start a new life there, and he really, really wants to do that, but he's got various challenges that he has to overcome, largely involving money, if he's ever going to be able to do that. And then there's also a friend of his, a young woman named Nina, and she has just gotten back from her freshman year in college, and she now doesn't want to go back to college because she wants to do other things. And so anyway, it's these various things intersecting with each other. The movie is well over 2 hours long, so it takes its time in dealing with all these different plots. It's a very, very lively movie. There's all kinds of music and dancing, and it's all, you know, very, very well done, very polished. I would even say very slick. The cast is really terrific. Miranda himself plays a small role. He sort of starred in the stage version of In the Heights. Here he's given himself a smaller role. Just a generally good cast, wonderful people, all very appealing and very attractive in different ways. And they sing and they dance wonderfully, and they don't even do a bad job of acting. It's a very nice movie. The thing about In the Heights is that it's all just so sunny. It's too sunny. There's a little tiny bit of conflict built into it, but most people's lives are a little bit more complicated, you know, even in movie musicals than what we really see in this film. So I just found the whole thing just sort of too, to use a musical term, upbeat. It was upbeat in every way. And after a while, I just started to say, aren't we going to have a little tiny bit of real life? Yes, some of the problems are real life. Yes, will I ever be able to get the money to go back to the Dominican Republic and realize my dream? Yes, will the young woman overcome the tensions with her family over not wanting to go back to college? This kind of thing. Yes. But again, it's all handled in a very sort of a light way and lighthearted way. And I just never felt any real emotion in the movie, aside from this sort of sunniness. Now, I must add also that In the Heights, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners know about this, Jill, has generated some controversy for not being racially or ethnically inclusive enough. And I have to say, my gosh, you know, just because every movie isn't exactly the way that every person thinks it ought to be is no reason to be raising fusses. And it's certainly no reason for these fusses to get all kinds of media attention, as these fusses have gotten in the case of In the Heights. My gosh, the director and the writer and all the different people combined have done a really marvelous job of filling the screen with hugely appealing and talented, mostly Latinx faces and voices and hearts. And, you know, the fact that there's not enough of this in it or not enough of that in it really ought to be inconsequential compared with that essential fact. The movie reminded me in a lot of ways of Spike Lee's great movie, Do the Right Thing. And I must say, Do the Right Thing from the late 80s is one of the greatest of all American films. It's a total masterpiece, and anybody who hasn't seen it ought to see it. And like In the Heights, Do the Right Thing takes place in one New York neighborhood. In that case, it's Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, and deals with, you know, various people of various ethnicities coming together. And that movie had complaints when it came out. There aren't enough Asian Americans in it. There aren't enough thises. There aren't enough thats. And in fact, everybody's there. It's just that the movie is about 2 hours long and it has to deal with certain things and there's just so much it can do. So anyway, I just had to get in a word or two about that. I don't think In the Heights is a great movie. It's certainly nowhere remotely close to Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, which again, it resembles in some ways. But the complaints that are raised about it on sort of racial and ethnic grounds, I think are preposterous. It's a lovely movie. It fills the screen with these hugely gifted, mostly Latinx personalities and talents. And if for no other reason, I hope that a lot of people see it for that reason, because it's very worthwhile. So now let's zip ahead to our second movie, which again still deals with music, but it's in a totally, totally, totally different vein. Here we have a movie from India, directed and written by Chaitanya Tamhane, and it deals with Indian classical music. And in fact, it is about Hindustani music from the very northern part of India. So I guess there's another commonality. In the Heights takes place in northern Manhattan, and The Disciple deals with a kind of music that comes from northern India. And it is very much about this music. And the thing is that it is a classical music. It is Indian classical music. And of course, in India these days, it appears, as in pretty much everywhere, pop music is what everybody wants. So The Disciple is about a young musician who is working incredibly hard with true devotion and passion to become a successful vocalist in this particular kind of Indian classical music. And he works and he studies and he has a guru, an older musician who has been mentoring him for many years. And the whole point of The Disciple is that our main character, whose name is Sharad, is really devoted to this and is really working hard and is doing his absolute best to succeed and become a great artist. And he just can't seem to quite make it. And that's what the movie's about. And as I'm not the first person to point out, in a way, this movie is sort of a corrective to the very common sort of feel-good movie idea that if you just really care about something and you really work hard and you really devote yourself to it, eventually, sure enough, you'll succeed. Well, Sharad never really succeeds. And that is his tragedy, and in a way his triumph is that he keeps trying for such a long time. And again, this is a movie that, unlike In the Heights, really does have some genuine real life in it, because Sharad's plight is very real. Now again, this is about Indian classical music, And it has a lot of Indian classical music in it, which I found quite wonderful. I mean, I, among other things, I'm a child of the 1960s, when there was a real vogue in America for certain kinds of Indian music, and Ravi Shankar was practically a household name and that kind of thing. And so I very much enjoyed the music that we hear in this movie, the various ragas and other things that we hear at various scenes of the movie. But the movie is quiet. Even though it has a lot of music in it. And it moves along at a very deliberate pace. It's not an exciting movie. It doesn't want to be an exciting movie. It wants to be a more of a contemplative movie, more of a meditative movie. It's a movie that wants us to slow down and take on the rhythms of this certain kind of music, especially its more sort of introspective moods. It has scenes that go on with uninterrupted shots that go on for maybe a minute or two. I didn't have a stopwatch with me. The movie is not cut, 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 another thing to look at every single second, and that's very deliberate on the part of the filmmaker. And it takes us into the mood of the music and the mood of the story in ways that, the usual Hollywood way of storytelling would not have worked at all. Other characters besides our main character, Sharad, include his mentor, his guru, and another character who we never see, but we hear his voice a lot, which is a venerable, old woman who made a whole illustrious career in Indian classical music and left behind a bunch of tapes containing her philosophy of music. And she was so devoted to the purity of Indian music that she never actually recorded these tapes. They were secretly recorded by some of her followers. And now Sharad listens to them reverently and picks up every word he can from these lectures and learns about the devotion and the austerity that you have to immerse yourself in the full purity of Indian music and of classical music generally. And then, of course, late in the movie, there's a certain revelation about this teacher, which makes her appear to be not quite all that she appeared to Sharad to be. But this is another thing. We have long scenes of Sharad riding around on his motorbike, listening to these tapes, and we hear the tapes on the soundtrack, and we see him driving through Mumbai in the dark. So all of this, again, it's spellbinding cinema. And if you can sit and take it in, whether you see it in a theater or whether you see it streaming, and try to do it without too much interruption and just sink into its mood, it's quite a wonderful movie. It's beautifully acted. And again, it just has all kinds of captivating music in it and things to think about, not only about the art of music, but about just art in general, serious art, art that is not part of the pop mainstream that surrounds us every day. It's just a movie with a lot of things to say about that, and a lot of things to make us think about that. I really, really like it, and I totally recommend it, The Disciple. It's a wonderful movie. And our final movie for today, Jill, is another movie from India. It is called Joji, which is the name of the main character, and it was directed by Dilish Pothan. And Joji says at the very beginning in a text on the screen that it was inspired by Shakespeare's Macbeth. So, okay, hey, that's cool. You know, there have been some great movies of Shakespeare's Macbeth. One, for example, by Roman Polanski, which is a really quite wonderful, wonderful movie, I think. And then there's various sort of variations on Macbeth that have been done over the years. There's a wonderful Japanese movie called Throne of Blood by Akira Kurosawa, which is very much a Japanese adaptation of Macbeth. So I thought, wow, this is going to be cool. An Indian variation on Macbeth. Well, you know something? This movie, Joji, has virtually nothing to do with Macbeth. Once you get past that on-screen text, you could watch this thing over and over, I think. Not that I'm going to do that. And never even dream that it was based on Macbeth or inspired by Macbeth or had any even vague connection with Macbeth. What we have here is a pretty well-to-do family that lives in a very rural area of India. And it has a patriarch who's a very hard, tough guy. So I guess that's sort of like the king in Macbeth, except that he's just a patriarch. He's not a king. And he's, you know, how many movies have we had about rough, tough patriarchs? You know, a jillion of them. And they're not based on Macbeth. And anyway, there's a lot of unhappiness in the family because of his personality and because of his stinginess and because of the way he won't share the wealth. And then, yes, he does get sort of killed by members of his own family, but it's totally different from the way the king gets killed in Macbeth. And all kinds of different things happen after that. And anyway, here's the thing. I didn't find Joji persuasive persuasive as a movie. Forget Macbeth. As a movie, I just found it had absolutely no dramatic tension for me at all. It is not particularly well acted. The characters are mostly very stereotypical and over the top. And again, it tells us at the beginning that it's inspired by Macbeth, and there just ain't no Macbeth in it that I can tell. So that seems to be some sort of a marketing gimmick. I guess we're living in pretty culturally sophisticated times if it's a marketing gimmick to claim to be based on a Shakespeare play. But I can't think of any other reason why it says that. This movie ain't Macbeth. It's also been said to be a movie that's very appropriate to the age of the pandemic. Oh, here and there in the movie, people are wearing masks, but it has nothing to do with the pandemic. So I really found Joji to be a very disappointing movie. It didn't raise any larger issues beyond its own story, and I found its own story to be stereotypical, hackneyed, and just generally uninteresting. So I would advise, if you want to see something from India, see The Disciple, which is a wonderful movie, and stay away from Joji, which is the opposite of that. And so that is my partly musical story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films In the Heights, The Disciple, and Joji.